Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hello, guys. Welcome. Thankful that you are here, and I'm thankful it's the week before Thanksgiving. How much fun is Thanksgiving? I just love it. And I really love it now that my kids are in college because everyone comes home, and I don't know, it's just, it's a whole different experience when you have kids that are gone that come back and you gather together as a family. And so I'm super, super excited about it. In fact, I'm overly excited because I miss my people so much that for the first time ever, we did a family FaceTime call. And I texted them all and said, can everybody get on FaceTime at 6? And then I'm like, oh, can you FaceTime with more than one person? And don't worry, my daughter's like, yes, Karen, you can FaceTime more than one person. I was like, oh, my bad. Mike's over there like, I could set up a Teams meeting. Boy, the college kids really got on us for that. But it was so fun. And we went around and just talked about something awesome, weird, unusual that's happened in the last week. And Brett let us know that the most weird, unusual thing was the fact we were on a family FaceTime. But all that to say, get everybody home. It's going to be good. I'm glad. But I also know with holidays, it can be hard. And we all have places where there's loss and some anxiety and all the things. And so today, Abby Kirkendall is with us, and she has a book out called Let the Biscuits Burn. What a great title. And it's all about hospitality, and it's not just about us. It's not primarily about us. It's about the people that we invite in. And so we're going to talk about our motivation at having people over and why, even if it's not our spiritual gift, even if we don't love entertaining, even if we're a terrible cook, we have an opportunity to show people Jesus by allowing them into our home. And she is going to come at it from a spiritual angle, but also from a very practical angle, and even a great tip on something to take to one of your holiday gatherings. And so, yes, her book has the best title ever. It's called Let the Biscuits Burn. But she also has a cookbook called A Living Table that sounds very practical and awesome. I didn't even realize she wrote it. I have that cookbook. So I'm going to go grab that thing again and look through it. So, you guys, I will link all this in podcast notes. But for now, let's kick it off with Abby Kirkendall, and we are going to talk Thanksgiving and Christmas. Here we go. Hey, Abby, welcome to Mesmerized. How are you?
So good. This is such, I feel like for all of your listeners, we just had like a major brainstorm sesh before this, just on all the things, Jesus and books and book clubs and Bible studies. And man, I'm ready for this conversation.
I'm so excited. And I think what we've figured out, well, we're just going to give you the behind the scenes, everybody. Now, when you do audiobooks, when you tape your audiobook, which I'm taping mine this week, and Abby's already done hers, when you tape audiobooks, you now put in extra content because AI can do audiobooks. And so they want authors to do extra stuff that AI could never do and that people enjoy, and it'll be helpful and resourceful for them. So we were talking about that, and she was saying how her book that we're going to talk about today, Let the Biscuits Burn, a lot of people, a lot of women are using it for like a book club slash Bible study in the spring, which I think is genius. And so her book's going to be the spring one. Mine's going to be your summer book club, everyone. That's how we can do this. And she and I were talking about how discussion guides and all those things. So super fun. I'm so glad you're here. Tell everybody about your life. What's going on?
Yeah. So I have an 19-month-old, I guess now. And aww. I've been married for 2 years. So like a little over 2 years. So we got married in March of 23, got pregnant in July, and then it's been a whirlwind since then. So I got married later in life, and so we just decided to get started fast. I'm pregnant again. I'm due in January, so like very soon recording this. And it has been a whirlwind. But you know what? I love that I wrote Let the Biscuits Burn kind of postpartum with John Maverick, my first, because I experienced God through hospitality, and my hospitality journey really started in my singles and really like leveraging my single time, the flexibility and the spontaneity that I had during that stage of my life to draw closer to God and build this kind of like muscle of hospitality. And so then getting married and then having a baby so quickly, you don't have a lot of time to like figure out hospitality with a husband and then figure out hospitality with a child. And so while I was writing the book, I actually got to experience hospitality, like the gift of receiving hospitality. And that was, it was a nice little twist, a nice little God wink. But yeah, I live in Northwest Arkansas and I'm really close to my family. We are getting ready as we're recording this, we're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving and, we will have 58.
Oh my goodness. I love that.
And that is like, I mean, we're 40 strong on a Tuesday. So we have like a few extra for Thanksgiving, but it is so fun. We have like spreadsheets of who's bringing food, who's coming, how many kids, what's the table setting going to, I mean, it's just not table setting, but like who's sitting where, kind of seating chart type thing. And so it's just, you know, and it's so fun. And some of the meals will be pizza and some of the meals will be chicken spaghetti and we'll have the turkey. So it's a really fun time. So really close to my family and yeah.
So fun. Well, and you know what? We're guys, this is another behind the scenes. We're taping this and we're releasing it the same week, which almost, I can't think in my podcasting life when that's happened, but we had a misfire on an earlier date. And so here we are. And I really want this to come out Thanksgiving because I think we all need the reminders going into Thanksgiving and Christmas about hospitality. And so Abby and I just met, but I'm going to tell you this, Abby, so you know this about me, and most people probably do, but I love to host. I love people. The more people in my house, the better. And I grew up with a hosting mom who always had people in and just did it beautifully, more in a China beautiful way. I mean, yes, she could do casual too, but just in a China way. And I'm more of like a Chinette girl kind of thing. Like let's go ahead and just bring out the paper plates. I don't care. And so I always say, I think that's one of the greatest blessings my mom gave me because my friends say all the time that one of my friends recently said this, and it was such a sweet thing to say that I'm a, how did she say it? Like someone that creates space for other people to come and to be themselves and to make memories. And I love that. And so not because, and to the point of your book and what you're about, not because I just do it flawlessly. And I'm going to be honest, I don't love to cook. I can gather food real well, but I don't love to cook, but I love to have people in. And I've noticed less and less people do that because I think people are intimidated by it. People feel like it has to look a certain way, all those things. And so when your book came across, I saw a pitch for it, Let the Biscuits Burn, and talking about hospitality. I'm like, oh, I'm so in on this. So for all of you that it doesn't come naturally for, I will say, admittedly, it comes more natural for me and obviously Abby than some. This is still a word for all of us, especially going in the holidays. So let's start with this. Is hospitality your spiritual gift, Abby?
It is not, actually. Okay. And so I love that you just teed that up because the listeners are going to get such a treat today to hear both sides of the spectrum. Yeah. But I when I take the spiritual gift assessment test online, it is probably like 8 or 9 out of 15. So it's like about halfway down the list for me. Teaching and administration and all of that is really like the top of the top for me. Mm-hmm. And naturally going into learning about hospitality, creating it, it's not my spiritual gift. So like it's more of a spiritual discipline for me. And I talk about that in the book of like, what is a spiritual discipline and why is it important? And so for those that might be more introverted, that might not have the conversation skills, that might not feel comfortable or confident maybe in the kitchen or extending an invitation to somebody, it is definitely a muscle that we can build. And over the last decade and a half, I've been building it. And so now God said, hey, I want you to teach other people how you did it and how we partnered and how hospitality has blessed you. And so it has definitely been a blessing, but it's one of those things that like you have to commit to learning. You have to commit. Like if you want to go run a marathon or if you want to play an instrument, you don't just start with like Rachmaninoff. Like you start with like, okay, what are the white keys? what are the black keys? Let's dive in and start slow. And you have to practice a lot. You know, it's not even a once a week thing. It's kind of like an everyday thing. If you're like me, and I was like so bad at the piano, but anyway, I just think that, like, you know, you got to start small. You got to give yourself grace. But over time, hospitality can become second nature because scripture tells us to practice it. And God does not ask us to do anything that he is not willing and ready to help us accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that there, let's talk about the spiritual component first. Like, you kind of just hit it, but is there a spiritual component? It is one of the spiritual gifts. If you haven't taken a spiritual gift assessment, by the way, everybody, like, it is one of them. I do think I have it. It's not my strongest. My strongest is teaching. And some of those things, but I do think it's something that comes naturally to me. I think the Lord gifted me with it and I'm grateful for that. But I also think I've exercised a lot because my mom did it so much. But is there, like, talk to us a little bit just about that spiritual component. Do we see that biblically, that there's examples of this hospitality?
Yeah, for sure. I'd point us straight to the Gospel of Luke. I mean, anytime we want to know how to live our life, we need to go look at Jesus's life and just emulate it, right? Those were Paul's words. And so you see in the Gospel of Luke, it's literally a ministry around food. And he borrowed food. He went to people's houses. He invited himself in. He does not ask us to have it all together. He does not ask us to have a perfectly set table. Jesus didn't have a table. You know, like, he invited himself to Zacchaeus's house. Peter's mother-in-law, he was like, hey, we're hungry. Can you get well so that you can feed us? You know, in a matter of speaking, kind of being fiction about it. But when you look at the first piece of furniture that God instructs man to make, it's actually in Exodus, and it is a table. It's a table. It comes right after the Ark of the Covenant. They're preparing kind of like what the tabernacle is going to look like. And God says, okay, Moses and Bezalel, this is how we're going to make a table. I need you to build it. On top of that table, I need you to always put a piece of bread. They called it the show bread. That was because that piece of bread symbolized the providence and how God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and how every time you were to be in that space, every time you were to sit at that table, that piece of bread was God saying, hey, I will always be here. I will always take care of you. Fast forward. I mean, you see the table come up throughout scripture. Fast forward to when Jesus walked the earth and he says, I'm the bread of life. He leaves us with the Holy Spirit. No longer do we have to have a piece of show bread on the table, reminding us that God has provided and all that God has done for us. He says, no, no, no. The Holy Spirit will always be here. I am the bread of life. I'm replacing that physical piece of bread. And now you have the Spirit that's always with you. I think about that, you know, going into Revelation 19, where it talks about how, like, God has invited us in. He is a hospitable God. And if you, you know, look at the gospel, it's all about the invitation. It's all about welcoming us into his family. And in Revelation 19, he says, I have a table. I have a seat with your name on it, and it is a banquet, and it's a feast, and it's amazing. It's for you. And I, you know, when I sit back and I think about, you know, all the names of God, all the ways that we worship God, do we worship his hospitality? Do we sit with the way that God has welcomed us in, invited us into his family? And when Paul writes, when the author of Hebrew writes, when, you know, they're talking about the importance of practicing hospitality, he doesn't say, you know what, if you were born with the gift, I need you to practice it. Yeah. He didn't say, if you have a, you know, 12 seat table, if you are the best chef, if you are Martha Stewart, practice hospitality. He said, we all need to practice it.
That's so good.
You know, I think that when we sit with that, when we sit with the symbolism of the table, when we sit with Jesus's ministry, when we sit with the words of Paul, when we sit with how God has invited us into his family in the gospel through salvation, I think we can't help but want to emulate that heart and invite others in.
That's so good. Okay. And so that's kind of, the underpinning of this, guys. Yeah. For anyone that's listening, it's like, it's not really my thing, but I just thought I'd tune in. Like, I think it's all of our things.
Yeah.
It's just going to look different for a lot of us. And, I would love, and I want to get practical, and we're going to in just a second and talk Thanksgiving / Christmas, going into that, and just some practical tips and tricks that you have up your sleeve. But I think one thing stands out to me is someone, when I go to people's homes or I watched this. I don't want this to be the case in my house. But when it comes to hospitality and hosting people, I think checking your motivation matters. Mm. And is your motivation, yeah, is it about you or is it about them?
Yeah.
And I've done both. It's been about me before, if I'm very honest, where I've wanted my house to look perfect. And especially when my kids were little, like everyone, like have your act together and the house looks good and we have the right food and all. Like, and I realized like, well, that's not like, one, it's a disservice to my kids. Cause I'm like, everybody pick up, everybody, blah, you know, and I act like a nut job before everybody gets there. And then it was time I got older and my kids got older. I'm like, you know what? This is really actually not about me. It's about the people that I want to have in. And so sometimes when I go to people's houses, I will notice that it's like I'm being in a show home and they're, you know, they want to, I have to tour the home, which is nothing wrong if you want me to tour your home, but we tour the home and then everything. It's so curated that it's not actually doesn't feel like a blessing. I feel burdened when I leave more than I feel blessed because then I'm like, gosh, I don't do it that way. My house doesn't look like that, you know? And so I think sometimes checking the motivation is super helpful going into this. And if your motivation is really to bless people and bring people in and honor the Lord in that, I think that naturally allows you to lower the bar on the perfection standard and raise the bar on honoring God's standard and honoring people well. So has that been your experience?
Yeah, no, for sure. I tell the story, and if anyone has heard me speak or heard another podcast, they've probably heard the story, so bear with me. But when dishes, what I've found is that when dishes are in the sink or when my house is a mess, nobody ever asks for a coaster. They don't take their shoes off. They just kind of like, I mean, this is their home. And when I have cleaned my house and like, I have a couple of non-negotiables. You talk about practicality. I have three non-negotiables when, you know, like I leave the house, and it is that I want the dishes to be in the dishwasher. They don't have to be clean, but just like, I don't want we can fill a sink at our house. Just the three of us. I want the pillows. I love pillows. I think they're so pretty and they just make me so happy, but they find their way to the floor. And so I want them on the couch. And then all of our bathrooms need to have toilet paper fully stocked. It drives me crazy when I go into the bathroom and it's like, who left four sheets of toilet paper here? You know, so anyway, those are my non-negotiables. I talk about that. Like if you are someone that like has to have a clean house or feels intimidated by just inviting someone into the mess, set up some non-negotiables. These are the things that I just need to make sure are always checked off. You need two or three. Don't make the list exhaustive. But when my house is super clean, when I have dusted the baseboards or, you know, like, and it looks like a show home, everybody always asks for a coaster. They ask me if they need to take their shoes off at the door. And it's like, you were here last week and your glass went right there on that same coffee table. Like, we do not need a coaster. And so I think that it's like this cultural mentality that has been impressed upon us, that we've been conditioned to feel a certain way in certain environments or act or behave a certain way in certain environments. And that is exactly the antithesis of what biblical hospitality is. Entertaining is exactly what you said, the motivation of self. It is what I want to make. It's how I want to decorate. It is who I want to invite. Biblical hospitality flips that on its head and said, you know what? If you're, you know, I, the Holy Spirit, am going to impress upon you who to invite over. And those people are not going to be your friends and your family. They are going to be strangers. That word stranger in the Greek language that's used in the New Testament is xenophilia, the love of stranger. That stranger is someone that doesn't look, think, act, or vote like you. So it would have been the Zacchaeus to the Jesus, not some, you know, hobo you're going to pick up off the street. That is not, you know, that's how our culture has labeled a stranger, like stranger danger. But stranger could just be somebody in your like outer circle, somebody that you brush shoulders with that might not know Jesus or might not have like a personal relationship with them or might, you know, sit on a different side of the aisle than you. And those are the people that God wants us to invite in. And that biblical hospitality hinges on three components: the authenticity that we can provide, whether that's in your home, that's in the conversation you have, the flexibility to allow the Holy Spirit to ebb and flow, what you're going to make, who you're going to invite, and then the intentionality behind getting to know someone and making them feel loved and known and seen. And if you can, and it's hard, like you said, like you might go in with the motivation of, I want to be hospitable, but then we are all sinners. We are all, you know, fallible people. And so it easily turns to entertaining. It easily turns if we don't capture our mind, if we don't say, okay, I'm gonna take these thoughts captive. This is not about me. This is about making that person or those people feel loved and known and seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember like Thanksgiving, especially at my house growing up, like there would be like an army vet sitting at the table I'd never met. There would be an older man whose wife had passed away in the last year. And we would kind of tease my mom later. We're like, who the heck was that? Like who? And then we'd be like, if we're going to have place settings, I'd like to pick my spot, please. Like we would kind of tease her. But it impacted me because she really did. As she met, it wasn't literally strangers on the street, but people that had a need or a place to be, like she wanted them to know, you have a seat at our table always. And I want us to be encouraged in that. And I would say like, let's set a mini goal between maybe Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, to have some sort of little gathering, let's not even call it a party or a shindig, like let's barely call it a gathering. But, and I try to impress this on my kids, like on their birthday parties and other times when they were growing up, I would always say, I want you, you know, you can invite 10 people, 7 are your besties. That's great. Yeah. I want 3 people that need to be invited, don't think they'll be invited and wouldn't have been included if we hadn't been intentional, and teaching them to exercise that. There are kids that need to be invited to that. And I'm thinking, let's consider this going into the holidays. There's people that would really benefit from being invited to something. Maybe they don't have a lot to go to. Maybe they don't have a lot to go to that is a believer doing this, that's hosting it. Like, let's think about like stretching that a little bit and having some people in our home, even if we're not going to have the huge whatever party, but just having chili on Tuesday night and inviting so-and-so that you think, you know what, that would be a gift to them. Yeah. Or that would be a blessing to their kids to have the opportunity to be with my kids, those kind of things. If we were going to do some little gathering, what would be some tips you would give us? Like, what do we need to be thinking about if we're going to do that?
Yeah. I, you know, my first book, The Living Table, is a start from store-bought cookbook. So it is a kind of semi-homemade, and I would say lean into your grocery stores, lean into the things that people are doing, for you, and don't try to do it all yourself, because you'll wear yourself out. And by the time people walk through the front door, you're exhausted because you've spent X amount of hours in the kitchen slaving away. I would also say like, don't make it too big or too like, over the top. You, like you said, Chinette, in the back of the book, there's a hosting handbook type thing. And I talk about like my favorite places to go and find, like, if you do want to zhuzh up your, or make a little bit more fancy your Chinette paper plates, there are companies out there that will do a fancier paper plate. Everything is disposable, but it, you know, is a little bit fancier than, you know, paper, but it's not all the way to your China. I would also be really thoughtful about the conversations you're going to have. That is probably, I'm an extrovert, but conversation scares the daylights out of me. And maybe it's a mind over matter type thing. But I always love to have conversation cards around. But I also, what I've learned is to always prepare in advance. Remind me what their names are. Remind me what their kids' names are. What are their kids doing? Maybe a deep dive on their Instagram or their Facebook. Like just to remind myself, give myself some things to talk about with people, because that can be intimidating. I love how you mentioned like, who can you invite over during the holidays? Because the holidays can be so triggering and anxiety ridden for so many people who don't have families or have lost someone this year or in the last few years. Maybe you have some people that have experienced divorce and this is their first season without that family unit. I know in where I live in Arkansas, I'm in a college town. My aunt is also in a college town. She lives in a town that has 3 colleges and there are a lot of, strangers, if you will, from different, you know, like kind of foreign exchange students. And so they are people that like don't know American culture or tradition. They are stuck here, for lack of a better term, over the holidays. They don't get to return to wherever they go, and they don't have anyone to celebrate with, but also maybe they don't know Jesus. And so those are the people, like, reach out. If you're in a college town, there are international student departments, and they would love to connect you with students that have nowhere to go for the holidays or don't have anything to do. Even if it's like December 10th and you're having a Christmas party, reach out to those departments and invite them in. That is an easy way to love on an impressionable student, an impressionable young person that might not know Jesus and might not have a family to celebrate with this season.
Those are all so good. Those are so good. I was just, as you're saying that, I think of someone that comes to mind that's recently divorced, that has a man and his son. And I was like, okay, like, we can have them over with our family for something. It doesn't have to be Christmas morning. Of course not. But okay, let me back up on a couple things and ask practical questions. Conversation cards. Do you ask ChatGPT and you write them out, or do you buy some, or like are there some ideas in your book? I'm sure.
There's like a shopping list of things you must have. Like, if you are, and I wrote the book like for me 15 years ago. So like, if I'm getting into this and I don't know what to cook, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do or how to decorate or anything, like, what do I need to know and what do I need to have to make it easy? Because like, after 15 years, I've gotten married, I've gotten the china, I have everything, but 15 years ago I did not. So conversation cards, they are these little, you can get them on Amazon or Walmart or Target, wherever. They're called Table Talk. And they are conversation cards, and you can find different varieties. So like, you know, table talk for faith, table talk for couples, table talk for your marriage, you know, all sorts of things. There are also like other, you know, kind of, if you want to get more spiritual, my sister gave me some last year called Faithful Friends, and they are color coded, kind of like trivia cards. Also, trivia cards are so fun. My community group is at my church, like, we try to rotate community groups pretty frequently so that we're always learning to like connect and be with different people. And we have some trivia cards that are called Things I Wish I Didn't Know. Let me tell you, those trivia questions, we don't like play the game. We just read the cards and talk about starting some conversation. You will learn a lot about someone when you talk about how dirty the menus are at Olive Garden, or, you know, like, whatever it is, you know. So it is.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Those are really fun. Also, when it comes to, like, I was talking about like the fancy paper plates, Mary Mary, Sophistaplate. Right now they're like all over Facebook. So if you're listening to this on your phone, then you're probably going to get served it next week.
You're going to have them all. Okay. Okay. That's helpful. And then I know we all have different grocery stores, but what is your lean on go-to? Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be Trader Joe's, but whatever your place is that you love, like, what is like, okay, this is one where you can lean in on the grocer and throw some pretty like herbs on top. And people think, not that we're trying to make people think we did something we didn't, or, oh, it's so hard, but it looks like you tried more than if I threw out some pretzels. So what's your lean into?
So over on my Instagram at abby.kirkendall, and in my cookbook, every single item is from Walmart. So I'm a Walmart girl. I live in Northwest Arkansas, so we do have some pretty nice Walmarts, but we do not have I can always find what I am getting at a Walmart in Dallas or a Walmart in we're at Memphis, wherever I'm going. I can always find it in, people say we have bougie Walmarts, not in our Walmarts in Northwest Arkansas. But I will say the deli's really good. Lean into the frozen section. I mean, in the cookbook, I do like a taquito board, and they're all just like frozen taquitos, and they're all boxed from Walmart. I love the fresh herbs at Walmart. I think they do a really good job with their market side dips. That's an easy thing to zhuzh up. But basically, like, they have some really good staples that you can just do anything with that are pretty inexpensive. You know, like the crescent, you know, start with crescent rolls. That's something that I always have in my fridge because you can just do so much with it. You can make it sweet, you can make it savory. But I also love their desserts. I think they have a great, like, they call it sweet goods. So, you know, like your little bitty thumbprint cookies and stuff like that. And yeah. Their seasonal department is fantastic. So that's my shout out for Walmart. Love Trader Joe's as well. I think Publix does a great job too. If you're in the Southeast and have Publix in your vicinity. And then is it Mark and Spencer? Is that what it's called? M&S?
I don't know. I'm in Dallas. We don't have, that I know of, we don't have that.
Yes. Oh, girl, you're in Dallas. H-E-B. Ugh.
Yeah.
H-E-B. Man, my heart. If I could have an H-E-B or a Central Market in Northwest Arkansas, I'd be.
You'd be set.
Yeah. I'd be living the high life.
Yep. It's nice. It is. Do you know what I've figured out? This is the random tidbit of the show, everybody. And Abby may be like, that's horrible. I can't believe you do that. But I've figured out, you know what everybody universally likes? That I'm not saying this is like what I serve, but like just to have around to bite. Everybody likes pigs in a blanket. And I know that sounds like, who do you think you are, lady? That's nothing. But you get those tiny little sausage things and you get you a crescent roll and cut it up. And you look on the YouTubes, people, because they'll show you how to make it pretty. I used to make them all ugly. And they showed me how to make them pretty. And you do that and throw some Chick-fil-A sauces with it that you might have picked up. And people think you're a hero. Like they carry me around my house on their shoulders. They call me blessed.
Yes.
And so I'm just throwing that out. If you need just a little.
Okay. Bite. I will say another thing that I have noticed people will always eat are pizza rolls.
Oh, I don't do that, but I shall.
So poppable. I have this like platter. It's like a melamine platter. I probably got it at Target. I
love melamine. Yeah.
And I can fit like the big bag of like 180 pizza rolls. I never have leftovers. Like,
well, holy
never. God. So, like, you know, you have to have a couple of sheet pans to cook all of them at once. They don't all fit in the air fryer. But they're, I mean, because, you know, it's something like pigs in a blanket. They are just so poppable.
They're poppable, totally. Okay, let's talk about, I love those. Those are fun ideas, and they're easy, and they're, nobody's going to ask for a coaster if you throw out a pig in a blanket, everyone, okay? So it gets the coaster test. Nothing's wrong with the coaster, by the way, you guys, but you know what we're saying. Okay, real quick, tell me this. As we're releasing this, we're going into Thanksgiving. Give us one decorating tip. Give us one hosting tip and one food tip.
Ooh, okay. One decorating tip I have is that, like, when you're decorating maybe your like entry or you're decorating your, like I have an island that's kind of like in my entry that kind of connects the entry and the kitchen. I always set up, now I don't always have it full of water or cups or anything, but I always have a place that is designated for drinks and it is decorated. So it might, like right now it's got some pumpkins around it. It's got some little cute napkins. At Christmas, it'll have a little piece of garland and then like a little bitty Christmas tree that has some like ornaments from like my baby years. And so that is always there. That blends with my hosting tip of like, always when somebody walks in your house, hey, can I get you something to drink? That is something I always forget to ask. And so that's when I started creating this like moment on my counter of like, this space is sacred drinking space. Like this is where the sweet tea goes. This is where the coffee goes. This is where apple cider goes. Like this is where that moment is. And I never, since I've created that moment per se on my counter, I never forget to ask somebody if they need something to drink because it's always out reminding me. And then I guess this is maybe another one that hits all three. So I have this really long, breadboard, cutting board. It's probably like 4 feet and I put it up. This is so, DIY of me, but I put it up on candles because I don't have risers. But I put it up on candles. And so it kind of sits above like 8 inches above everybody's plate. And I put our food on that. So the buffet is literally in the middle of the table and we get to family style and, hey, can you pass me the green beans? Hey, can you know, and we get to eat there instead of making people feel like they have to get up and leave the conversation to go back for seconds. Or if they want a little bit more of something, it's right there. And I love that because it keeps us connected. It keeps the food there. It integrates your decor. And it also takes away the need for you to feel like you have to have something like with height in the middle of your table. And because that always impedes, you know, your vision. And I do that for, I started doing that maybe a couple years ago for Easter. And I have carried that through all the holidays because it just was such a game changer when it came to conversation at the table.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, let's talk Christmas then, because we're all, I mean, I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to put that tree up before Thanksgiving.
I know.
I'm going to put that Christmas tree up, everybody. Let's talk about this. Give us, same kind of thing. Give us a decorating tip or decorating something you love that you do at Christmas. Mm. Well, let's start there, because so you don't have to think about it first.
Let me think. Decorating tip at Christmas. I don't know. I'm such a bow girl. I love putting bows like everywhere I can think of. Like I, you know, do ribbon bows on my wreaths. I do ribbon bows on my Christmas trees. I do ribbon bows on my candles on the table. I think that candles make anything feel a little bit more.
That and lamps. You give me a candle or a lamp. Indirect lighting.
Well, okay. And I saw somebody like they were clipping bows to the top of their lamps on Instagram this year. And I was another place for me to put a bow.
Well, I'll tell you what, Abby, I've been shut down. Like if I had small children like you, CPS would come. I've been shut down on any responsibilities with reels of people decorating for Christmas. I don't even like reels. I don't even manage my own social media because I'm so bad at it.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden people are hanging bells off the side of those long Hobby Lobby looking bells off the side of their mantle, and they're putting red berry picks and stuff, and I'm gone. I mean, I'm sorry, honey, make your own dinner. I got to watch this reel. So I love that you're giving us, these practical things to do. And bows, I wanted to ask you that. Are you tying them fancy? Or are you tying them like I tie my shoelace?
No. I'm tying them like you tie your shoelace. And I'm using thin ribbon because it's the cheapest ribbon.
Yeah. Grosvenor or like what
kind of
ribbon?
No, it's kind of like a velvet, you know, velvet. Like okay. Maybe on my like candles and stuff, I just use like a satin ribbon.
Okay.
You know, so something really inexpensive that you can get like 25 yards of, you know, for like $5 at Hobby Lobby or something. And that's what I'm using. Now I do use a little bit thicker. I think it's half of an inch is what I use on my Christmas tree. And those are velvet just because I think that the texture pops a little bit more. But on the candles on this year on my lamps, the Grosgain, I do have some Grosgain Christmas ribbon on my wreaths on my front door. So lots of different textures.
That's amazing. Yes, bows. Okay. And if y'all aren't following her on Instagram, it's time to do that. Cause I'm guessing you will get to see some of these things on Instagram. Okay. The next one is give us an idea of, and this is kind of pressured if they don't have an original one, it doesn't have to be original, but what kind of gathering could we have that would just be able to invite some people over? Like I've done this for a million years. If you're listening to this and you're my friend and you've been invited, I'm sorry. Everyone's invited. Just text me. But, I like to do favorite things, you know, before Christmas and all the girls come and you know, and someone's listening and they're overwhelmed by this, but listen, I have made it so easy because I ask everybody to bring something shareable and it just, my whole countertop is full and everybody has stuff around Christmas. Yeah. It's been dropped off, already baked. So bring what it is. I don't care if it goes together. Do I care one bit if we end up with 70 things of cookies and only one dish of pigs and blankets? Don't care.
No.
People aren't there for the food, but people come and every year we do that and it's so fun and laid back, but give us an idea. Like, is there a type of gathering? That one's big. This does not have to be big, but that you're like, listen, you want to have people in, do this.
Yes. So this is one of my favorite things to do during the holidays because this week, the week before Thanksgiving is when our Bible studies at church end and they don't pick up until like the middle of January or maybe even the beginning of February. And but we've already blocked off that time. We've blocked off 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, or we've blocked off 6 to 8 at night. And so what I have done is I've opened my home and I've said, hey, that is still my Bible study time. So if you want to come over, we are going to do hot chocolate and cookies throughout December and January, and we're just going to hang out. That is, you don't have to bring a gift. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to cook food. It is just, I'm picking up a thing of Soft House cookies or whatever they're called from Walmart. And I have some hot chocolate in some bags because we can just heat up our hot water in the microwave. Super, super easy, low touch. And I'm always so blessed by the people that show up. Sometimes it's like 5 or 6 people and sometimes it's one, but regardless, it is such a blessing to connect, especially during like a really high touch season, just to have something where you're like, oh, I can go and I can be in my pajamas or my slippers or I don't have to have an ugly sweater on or
be painting. That's so good. So good. And hey, this made me think of one other quick tip that I would say, and take it or leave it, everyone. But I always try to make sure, if possible, that I'm the least dressed up person that I've invited over, because I don't want people to feel awkward. And so even, I try not to look homeless, but I also try not to like totally zhuzh it up in what I'm wearing, because I don't want someone else to feel bad. And I'm fine if everybody else is dressed real cute, but I try to be specific, like, come over, wear your pajamas. I don't care. Yes. Like, make it clear. But I also try to make sure I live that too. And
that reminds me, I have a chapter in the book all about boundaries. And I think that is like such a great physical boundary of like, hey, you're coming over from 6 to 7:30 and it will be done. We will be done at 7:30. Or hey, come over you do not have to bring anything. Dress like this, where, you know, the more you can be explicit and help people create boundaries and create parameters, the more comfortable they're going to feel walking into your space.
Sorry guys, I had to cough there. Yes, I love that. I could talk to these wedding people about it, because these wedding people are wearing me out, because I don't know what any of this means to wear to these weddings. Maybe it's a Dallas thing, or the company parties when they're like, chic cowboy country back home college dorm. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are we wearing? Can someone tell me what this is? But okay, last question, and I'm gonna let you go. Thinking towards Christmas, a favorite, like maybe it's a traditional one for you, but a favorite thing you like to serve at a gathering, besides you and me with our pizza rolls and our pigs in a blanket. Like, is there another favorite thing you like to serve? And I'm sure it's in your cookbook, but
It is in my cookbook, and it's a little polarizing. I need people to just give me some grace. It is a horseradish flatbread. It has pomegranates and arugula on it. And I feel like someday, you know how like when you bake with alcohol, I don't bake with alcohol a lot, but when you bake with alcohol, it like bakes the alcohol out. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you bake the flat, like I just buy some naan that's like from the store already made. I don't make my own naan or anything. I put horseradish on it. And I usually mix it with a little bit more sour cream or a little bit more like cream cheese or something, just to make it a little bit creamier and a little less spicy. But when I feel like when I cook horseradish, it just kind of takes a little bit of that, more of that spice out. And then the crunch and the sweetness of the pomegranates and the pepperiness of arugula. Oh my gosh, your mind will be blown. Also, it's red and green and white. And so it's Christmas.
I'm so doing that. I hate to be the dumb one, but why not? It's usually me anyway. Are we getting a real pomegranate and I'm banging it with a mallet and they're falling out? Am I buying?
You're buying a cup of pomegranate seeds.
Where do I get? That's like something that one sells at a store.
Yes. Walmart sells them. I know Trader Joe sells them. I'm sure every other grocery, if Walmart sells it, surely everybody sells it. But they are over in the produce section where maybe your cinctures are, like your ginger and your turmeric, like drinks are, you know, like they do those juices. They're usually over there.
Okay. I love that tip. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use it at my favorite thanks party, you guys, because I think it's fun. Okay. Tell everybody real quick. I didn't even talk about your first, the title of your first cookbook, because I don't have it. So now I'm getting ready to go order it because I must have. So we're really talking about book two, or I don't know what numbers these are, but tell us the cookbook name so we can link
the cookbook. The cookbook is The Living Table. I think, let me get it so you can all see it. This is what it looks like.
Awesome. Oh, you know what? I have it. It's beautiful. I didn't know that was yours.
See, yes, it's in the very back. There's the arugula flatbread.
Oh, y'all, it's so pretty. Yes, we gotta have that.
It's yum. Mm-hmm. And then Let the Biscuits Burn is right here, I think. Yes. Here's Let the Biscuits Burn. It is chock full. It kind of like mimics our conversation in that the first couple of chapters are all about Jesus, and then we get right into practicality and like, how do we actually do this? And then the very back is like, now that we have talked about how you do it, this is what you need to buy to do it. And it's like your table, it's like your table talk cards, it's your paper plates and your easy pizza rolls and crescent rolls and all the things.
So good, Abby. Okay. Well, I'm going to link it all in podcast notes, you guys. Yeah. Abby, how pronounce your last name again for everybody.
Kuykendall. It's kind of weird. K-U-Y. The U-Y in Danish is I-R. And so
Kuykendall.
Kendall.
Yeah. Kuykendall. Okay. Well, follow her on social. On Insta is where I've seen you. Is that where you primarily reside?
Primarily over on Instagram.
Okay, so I will definitely link all this in podcast notes. And I mean, that's if I can get past the decorating reels. I don't know, you guys. It's anybody's guess if I can do anything the next 2 weeks. But I'm going to try my darndest to get that done. No, we will. Yeah. We'll have it all linked. And Abby, I'm so glad to meet you. Thank you
for being here. This is so great. I'm glad we were able to connect and get this up and out. And I'm sure it will bless everyone right before the five-week sprint that we're about to head into.
Absolutely. Hey. And happy baby number
yes,
two.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. It'll be fun.
Oh my goodness. Well, if she isn't darling, right? How fun was that? Make sure you grab her book, Let the Biscuits Burn. If you want more of the cookbook, then go to A Living Table. Those are her books that we talked about today. And again, Abby Kuykendall on Instagram. And you guys, I hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving. We are not going to release a show next week because it will be the day before Thanksgiving. And let's be honest, you're not going to listen and I'm not going to talk. So we're going to take next week off and then we'll be back with some Christmas shows, some really great ones coming your way. But I hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving. I want you to know that I don't take it for granted that I get to do this and visit with so many of you in real life, but also through a podcast. And so thank you for that. I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving and I hope today's show is a helpful reminder of why we do what we do, and that is to honor the Lord. All right, you guys, thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. You're the very best.